So I'm speaking on a relatively new project in Africa called Optimization of Fertilizer Recommendations in Africa. The title Optimization of Fertilizer Use in Africa might be a bit more appropriate, more on target, but OFRA sounds better than OFUA, so we have gone with OFRA. And I acknowledge Lydia Wairegi, who is with CABI in Nairobi, a partner in this, Kayuki Kaizi from Noro, Uganda, and Nuri Maman from Niger. So the intent of OFRA is to provide or improve the basis for optimizing the economics of fertilizer use, and especially among smallholder, financially constrained farmers. It's being implemented in 13 countries, including Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Ghana, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Malawi, Zambia, and Mozambique. And a beginning task with this, or output, is to determine robust crop nutrient response functions for important annual food crops. Once we have those robust, those nutrient response functions, we can then nicely look at the economics of fertilizer use. It addresses 14 annual crops. So geographically and crop-wise, it's quite diverse, but we're going with a very standardized set protocol. So it is in a way quite focused. In addition, we look at a number of intercrops, not just the sow crops. And in this photo, you see maize pigeon pea being intercrop. It's funded by the Alliance of a Green Revolution in Africa, AGRA, which does get support from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The project is managed by CABI, the Center for Agricultural and Biosciences Information. They have a management entity in Nairobi. Scientific support from the University of Nebraska. The project started in July of last year, and it's a three-year project. And again, a major part of it is determining nutrient response functions. Our starting point with that was to look at what's been accomplished already, to review the past research and create a database. And we do have this database now of over 2,450 crop nutrient response functions for sub-Saharan Africa. Another important part is the field research. Each of these countries has a sub-grant under this project. And for example, and you know, it's in just beyond the first year, but for example, Niger, when I visited, they were on track to be able to estimate 300 additional crop nutrient response functions from their research. And another important part, and this is really cutting edge, is the extrapolation of response functions. And for that, we're using as an example the Global Yield Gap Atlas climate layers. And another is the soil property layers from AFSIS, or the Africa Soil Information System. 2 years ago, this information was not available to us. Even 1.5 years is when it started to become available. And so we see great potential in using this. And it's a bit illustrated by this diagram, where we use the results of past research and all these geo-reference response functions that we put together, and we're able to explain much of the variability in the coefficients, and it allowed us to, estimate response functions for randomly selected points in sub-Saharan Africa, points where maize is at least of some significance. And we see quite a wide range in these, both in the yield level, in the magnitude of the response, and of the shape of the curvature. So it's given us confidence that we will be able to do quite a bit to extrapolate, let's say, results of with pearl millet in Niger might be applicable to the pearl millet growing area in southwestern Zambia, for instance. What do we mean by optimization of fertilizer use? Well, one, it could be maximizing yield per hectare. It could be maximizing profit per hectare. It could be maximizing returns per small investment, or maybe maintaining or improving soil fertility, environmental protection. All of these are of concern to us, but we're mostly interested in the third one in this case, is enabling small holders to be able to use more fertilizer. And The approach is largely based on some work that we did in Uganda with a NARO team in Uganda. And this is the maize nitrogen response curve that was determined for a major part of Uganda. If we want to maximize yield per hectare, it takes 120 kilos of nitrogen. If we want to maximize profit per hectare, and it takes 10 kilos of grain to buy 1 kilo of nitrogen, that optimal rate drops to 44 kilos. But fertilizers tend to be very expensive in Uganda for different reasons. And if we have a case where it takes 20 kilos of grain to pay for 1 kilo of nitrogen, it drops down to 33 kilos per hectare, where you can maximize returns. When I was in Uganda in December, it was somewhere in between there, and the rate to maximize profit per hectare was at 40 kilos. However, most of these farmers do not have enough money to apply at rates that optimize returns per hectare. They need to get the maximum returns on their small investment. And so one way is to capture the steep part of the response function. Another part of this is that some crop nutrient response functions offer more profit potential than others. So in this figure, we see on the y-axis, or the x-axis, dollars per hectare invested in a particular nutrient applied to a particular crop, such as nitrogen applied to maize. On the y-axis, is we have the net returns expected from that investment on average. Where the curves are steep, that's where we're getting the best returns on our investment. So we see this curve for nitrogen applied to rice, actually upland rice, and here nitrogen applied to beans, very steep at low rates, very good profit potential. So if a farmer does have these crops in their cropping mix, they'd want to be sure to get some nitrogen put on that. That's their highest priority. And then eventually we have some of these other curves where the slope of the curve starts to match the slope of these more profitable options. That's when you start to give attention to these. We want the farmers to achieve this high profitability so that eventually they can be applying at rates that maximize returns per hectare. And on these curves, it's when they reach their peak, that's the point where you maximize returns per hectare. There in the previous slide, we saw six crop nutrient combinations, and our y-axis went up to $900. Here, it only goes up to $100. So some of these other options, like the phosphorus applied to the cereals and potassium applied to the legumes, are profitable, but not near so profitable as the other options. So in Uganda, they did this work. They were able to get this information together. It was quite substantial, you know, around 170 site season variety types of trials, let's say. That is, some trials had more, two or three varieties in them. So we get this information. How do we use it? How do we process it to be able to make a decision? We developed this tool called the Fertilizer Optimization Tool, and it helps to determine the crop nutrient rate combinations that will optimize return on investment. It's fully field research based. We didn't have to make any assumptions about this and that or throw any modeling into it. It's fully based on field research. It handles 15 crop nutrient response functions. It works in a way on a whole farm basis. Many other nutrient management tools are on an individual field, individual crop basis. And the information needs are quite low. This is a shot of the input screen. And this area, the farmer specifies how much area they want to plant to a given crop. And it's just for these six crops that it's available now, because that's where we have the adequate information to be able to determine robust response functions. They put in the estimated value of that crop at harvest time, or their predicted value, whether it's for home consumption or for market. They put in the cost of fertilizer, and then most important, or very important at least, they put in their financial constraint. How much money do they have available to invest in fertilizer? And it gives a solution something like this, where it tells, okay, given that small amount of money that this farmer has for that amount of land, it should be allocated this way. So you see relatively low rates, A lot of the crop nutrient combinations are not getting anything. Here it gives the estimated effects on yield as well as net profits, and this is the overall profit. So with that very small investment of $100,000, it's projected that on average they'll get about $22 back or 22 shillings back for each shilling invested. Not all of our extension people, advisors, including fertilizer retail people, have the computers available to them. So we've done two additional things. One is to develop a cell phone app. And even then, most people don't have good enough phones to be able to handle it. But they're out there. And another is to develop a paper tool. And this paper tool does consider three wealth potential levels. And with that, we can get it to consider 63 wealth crop choice scenarios. For example, if the farmers are severely financially constrained, it may limit their application of fertilizer to nitrogen applied to upland rice or beans only. One thing about this paper tool, we were able to build in advice on how to apply the fertilizer, but also the calibration, how to measure it out to be able to get these different rates. A problem with the paper tool is that it does need to be revised when there are substantial changes in fertilizer use cost or commodity values, because this economics is very important to the decision making. Much training has been going on in Uganda to enable extension to use these tools to advise farmers, and this includes government, non-government, as well as input retailers, as well as a group called Community Knowledge Workers with a project of the Grameen Foundation. And about 700 have been trained until now. Unfortunately, Uganda has decided that they need to make major institutional changes in their extension system, and so some of these extension people that have been trained are no longer active. But again, we offered a computer, the app version, the paper version, as appropriate for the audience. Another thing when we do the training is we look at how this fertilizer use decision fits into, let's say, an integrated soil fertility management framework. How do we consider different practices, such as maybe a cover crop the previous season or a green manure crop or manure application? And this is where we bring soil test values into it. The basic tool does not consider soil test values, but it does. We do give it consideration here. Intercropping is there. And again, this is just specifically for Uganda. For each of these 13 countries and major agroecological zones in these countries, we need to come up with something similar. So we're advising different rates of application. It's not always apply one bag per hectare. You can use the same measurement unit, but it's coming up with different rates. And so when the training of extension is done, calibration is very much emphasized. And we put together this very simple calibration tool that considers the volume of the measuring unit, the density of the fertilizer, the rate of application, the method of application, and it tells you how far you can go with a measuring unit. Say, maybe we're using this glass for broadcast application. For a given width of application, how far can you go to get the right rate? Thank you.
Well, I was
hoping for time for questions and comments. It's a good question. And this work in Uganda was done on soil crop production basis. And now if you apply the nitrogen to the maize, nitrogen moves pretty readily. and especially if the bean row plants are planted quite close to the maize, between the maize plants, etc., they'll have full access to it, even if it's band applied. And so, and with the beans, it's the nitrogen that they need early on, a starter fertilizer effect, because we have these problems with like bean stem maggot and root rots. By having this extra nutrition there, you get a more vigorous plant. And then you get the nitrogen, because you have a vigorous crop, you get the nitrogen fixation later. All right. In putting this data set together, we opted to go with asymptotic functions, that is, curvilinear to plateau, because we're interested in profitability. We're not interested in that point where you start to lose yield, but that earlier application. And so we had to make that choice, and I think it was a good choice. So we use a simple asymptotic function where A equals the yield at plateau, B equals the response to the applied nutrient, and C helps to determine the curvature of the response. So
you're saying that over-application isn't likely to be an issue?
Not if they're maximizing profit.
Right.
Yeah. But it could be. And what's the issue there? You know, salt effects or whatever.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.